Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
We're working back in. Obviously, it's great to have him back. You know, we've had a pretty good understanding in spite of what people think. We had a pretty good understanding what's going to happen, and now we're ready to get rolling.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
A drive to left center field. Deep to the gap.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
There's a shot, deep to right field, in the corner, and kiss it goodbye. Jackie Bradley stings one, and the Red Sox are back in the lead. 7-6 here in the 10th.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 12:02 in the Rose City. It's time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague back on the saddle with Andy Dirt Johnson today.
Well, it's happening, man. I'm back and better than ever.
You just left me riding the horse by myself. Jason Swigart came down from the mountaintops and rode alongside me.
He took over the seat on the old tandem bike, and you guys still made it up the Swiss Alps okay? You survived yesterday?
It was majestic.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in the back pedaling real hard. I was in the front just enjoying life, not pedaling at all.
Really? He's in the back. You're in the front in that scenario, huh?
Oh, yeah. He's got a bigger base. His body can
pedal up a little better. He's got a little more power, I think, than you do. A little more girth.
For sure.
When it comes to riding up that hill.
We did a squat competition. He'd probably beat me by 100-plus pounds.
Really? You think so? What's the most you think you could squat?
Swag kind of has a big ass. Have you not seen his legs?
But there's a difference between a big ass and a muscular ass. You know, like there's a difference there.
That's a fair point.
Right? Like, how much do you think you could squat?
Not very much right now because I haven't lifted in a while. I'm maybe 180.
Really? No, you could get more than 180.
I don't know,
guarantee you. Like, a one rep max, you could squat more than 180 pounds. I guarantee you could. I'll give you two bills.
Okay.
So, based on the logic there, that would mean Swigart then could squat 300 pounds. You think you could squat 300?
Yeah, let's do it. Get your crunch, boys. Let's go.
Let's go. All right, go out to
just
the gym.
Tell me where to show up.
Do you really think you could squat 300?
Squat 300, and then I'm out of there.
Look
See
at
ya.
That.
Walk-off shot.
Here's
Are
you going to warm up at all? You going to stretch a little
hell
bit?
Hell no.
All right, this needs to happen.
Usually older people wise up and they go, yes, yeah. I need an hour or a day to stretch.
Yeah, you should have seen me. I had the back-to-back days of golf of 54 holes, man. I was laying on the floor for like 45 minutes before each round stretching my back out just to make sure everything stayed intact.
Well, here's my only concern with Swigart squatting 300 bills.
This is going to happen. We're going to make this happen.
I'm afraid of his back. Because here's the one thing he doesn't have going for him. I don't know how great his body holds up in conditions like that. Because when was the last time you lifted?
I don't know that I've ever really lifted in my life.
His back is probably giving out. If you do no exercises.
You just drop a, I've seen other people lift. Yeah. I mean, I've watched it. That's the same thing, right?
If you do no lifting at all, your back is severely weak. It's a lot weaker than you think
it is. Well,
have
somebody there explain to me. Make sure I get the proper angle.
Yeah, you got to have the right angle, and you got to make sure you drop the butt down far enough. Yeah. It's got to be a certifiable squat.
You
can't go halfway.
You got to sit
down. We'll get one of your trainers there or whoever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look at this. Look at the new fitness challenge starting right off the bat.
Yeah, 300.
300 pounds.
I think you could squat more than 200.
No way.
I think you can.
No.
You don't realize how when you're squat, like if you don't squat very often, you don't realize how light that is.
Maybe in a one rep thing, but no. I think you're overrating my ability to squat. I don't do, I haven't done leg stuff in months. I haven't been to the gym in 2 months. All I've been doing is running.
I mean, you do have a jacked up foot, but that's okay. You don't really need a good foot to be able to squat.
No, no, not for one rep.
You think about it. What is that? That's like 2 plates on each side, right? So one plate on each side is about $135.
Yeah, so
not quite even 2 plates on each side to get to 200.
Yeah, it'd be, well, a plate and 35 on one side.
Yeah.
Those would be 205.
Yeah.
You get to wear one of those belts?
You can wear a belt.
All right.
Give you a belt, a couple of lifting gloves.
There you go.
I'm actually really concerned about this. I don't think this should actually go down.
I mean, there's more
I'm
of
a... I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to take your word that you think I can do that, and that's great. I'm not going to fight you on it.
Okay.
I think he thinks he's confident enough to do 300 pounds.
300 pounds.
I want to see this, but I don't want him to get hurt.
I think Swigart has the chance to do it.
He's got great width on the hips, the legs. He's built for it.
He's slightly downplaying the requirement of like warming up and making sure your legs are, you got a little blood flow going and stretching.
I'll just do a little power walk before.
You're going to want to do some lighter reps first, maybe put like 135 on there and just warm it up a couple of times.
Okay. If you think that's necessary.
I think you would want to do that instead of just walking straight into a 300-pound squat.
You strike me as a guy who doesn't warm up. You get through the bar, 300 pounds on, you squat down, and we're thinking he's gonna do this, and as you go up you tear your hamstring. It just gives. It's like, what are you doing to us? We're done.
I am not liable for anything that happens. Neither is Crunch Fitness. Only $9.95 a month.
Why go anywhere else?
We're gonna sign a bunch of waivers today. All right,
so where were you yesterday?
I was at a hospital yesterday for about half the day. My fiance had surgery, so she had 2 fractured fingers from the car accident, and the surgery got scheduled for yesterday morning. And the people were awesome. Surgery went great. Everything was fine. And she had a nerve block, which I'd never really heard of those before, but they just kind of inject you, and it blocks all the nerve feelings in your extremity that you're getting surgery on. So she couldn't feel anything in her left arm all day because that was the hands that she had surgery on. And so the only funny part, wasn't funny, but I did chuckle a little bit, was that she had no control over her arm because there's no nerve feeling in her arm. So she couldn't really, like, unless it was in a sling, she didn't really know where the thing was going to go. So as soon as she got out of surgery, I walked in to see how she was doing, and she said she punched herself in the face. Not like, obviously not a punch. She just had surgery on it, but it had, like, it kind of came up, bopped her in the chin a couple of times.
So, okay, when you explained this to me pre-show, I thought I got it, but now I'm a little confused. So basically it just spasms. It just moves on its own and she can't control it?
Essentially, yeah. Not spasm. It's just, I think you try and move it mentally. You're like, oh, I can move this.
But she
has control over like the top portion of her shoulder. So like she can start the movement, but then it doesn't, and you don't know where it's going from there. So that was the only comical part. She did fine yesterday because the nerve, she had no feeling in her left arm all day. So we were all good yesterday. And then last night was a little bit different. The old nerve block wore off, and about 4 o'clock in the morning. So we had a rough night. And then the pampered dog, who I love to death, but he is a spoiled little brat, and he sleeps in the bed every night. So we couldn't have him sleeping in the bed because you don't want him squatting on the arm in the middle of the night or something going wrong. And she's got it all propped up on pillows. So we had to put a gate up in front of the bed in order to keep him off it. And so he literally laid and slept in front of the gate all night crying. He didn't sleep like a second last night.
So you're dealing with a groggy surgery person
and
crying spoiled dog.
Spoiled crying dog all night.
There you go.
Oh, welcome to
Parenthood. We're all prepared for smudge in a year or two.
To Parenthood.
Funny note, after that, I went and got snipped this morning, so not going to have kids. We officially made that decision, and we're ready to go. I'm like an hour and a half asleep. Let's do this thing, man.
I cannot wait for you to tell the world you hate your child because he's going to give you so many days like
would
this.
Would you shut up over there? So, yeah, we're running on a little no-sleep night, but we'll get through it today.
The funny thing is I think a lot of people, when they have kids, they get this idea that's like, oh, I'm not going to be weird, awkward, yell guy. And all your, like, no matter what, your kid's going to have a stage, baby, infant, toddler, child, teenager, what have you. One of those ranges, they're going to be a real McA-hole. And you're going to be at a barbecue with 12 other people. Your kid's going to annoy you, and you are going to do that.
You're
going to
be that
Shut
dad.
Up! Go upstairs!
And everybody's going to look, just wonder.
You're going to transition back in. So, I think the Mets are going to be really good this year.
God, how about Bumgarner last night? He looked awesome, didn't he?
did he just blow a fuse? Is he going to be okay?
It's going to be glorious.
So thankfully, I got a report. She's rested well today, so she's taking some time off. She's doing better, but we just got to get those pain meds kicking in, and she'll be all right.
Absolutely. All right, let's find out what's on tap for today's show.
Dirt and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
All right, What's on Tap, brought to you in The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. Got a good show today. We will start this show off coming up in like 2 minutes with the most football opening you can imagine.
Your sports pants got tight, didn't they?
This is going to jack you up.
Is my boy winning you over one episode at a time?
Well, not in a winning way, but in a for TV way, yes. We'll get to that. We've got Jordy McCullough. I don't know how to say his last name.
It's a whole lot of LSU talk.
I'm like Colin Cowherd in the sense of I don't know how to say names. I'm really bad with names.
Well, then you think about it and it gets in your head and you screw them up even worse.
That's exactly what I do.
Yeah.
But he works for 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge because our number 8 team is LSU, baby.
The Tigers coming up today.
Our LSU Tigers.
Hello, hello, hello.
We'll get a check-in in the Bayou. We've got Magic Johnson. He did something amazing yesterday. And he did it because his birthday's today. And if you miss this, don't worry. We got you covered.
He's a gift to Twitter.
Angie Machado from BeaverBlitz.com is going to join us for a fall camp check-in on Oregon State. You can't contact... a lot of these beat writers now are too busy. Angie's a good friend of the show, so she's agreed to hop on.
Take a few minutes.
And hang out. We haven't caught up with her in a while. We'll see what's going on in Beaver Camp. Quarterback battles, defensive line progressions, offensive line. Talk a little Oregon State today. We got Statter story as well. We've got a rival to White Claw, which I don't know if they're going to win me over.
I think we need to see how this afternoon turns out if you go on that train. Where does it go? Where's the final stop?
So we'll get to that as well. We got a good show today. We're on Twitter at Dirt and Sprague, at Theodore Johnson, and at Brandon Sprague. And we're going to start with the most football opening you'll ever hear. That's next. Dirt and Sprague with you. Happy hump day on 1080 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. 12:16 on The Fan. We'll go to the Daily Ticker with our number 8 team on the top 25 countdown, LSU.
How'd the Husky preview go yesterday?
It was good. You know, yeah. Damon gets grief on the text line from time to time because of the pick six with Kenny Wheaton.
Sure.
I don't, you know, he's homerish in the sense of he went there and I thought he was really good. He was just breaking down how, yeah, they only have two coming back, but a lot of these kids played last year.
Mm-hmm.
They've been building this stockpile of talent where you can lose a bunch of guys and they just step in defensively and they're okay. And Jimmy Lake's one of the better defensive minds. He thinks they can win 10 plus again and be right back where they were last year. That week two game, we kind of overlook it. And most of us are just penciling in a UW win, but Cal UW week two could be weird.
It could be, especially with the way Cal can play defense. Like, we see them lock people up. Remember their game in Pullman last year? What was the final of that one? Like 20-16 or 17-13. It took a late Cougar touchdown to win. And that was one of those scary, just near missed upsets for Washington State. So defensively, they can lock anybody up. And then you think about Washington with a new quarterback, only playing one game, kind of a lot of new pieces on that side of the ball. I'm with you. That could be a bit of a trap.
Well, and remember, Cal beat UW without scoring a touchdown.
They did.
And Browning got benched.
They did last year, yeah.
So there, you know, he mentioned that game of the non-conference. You know, you open up with Eastern, then you go Cal, then it's Hawaii and BYU. But if they're in a situation where they start 4-0, I think they're going to be right back in that whole winning the Pac-12 mode. But he was good. So I'm looking forward to the LSU one. And speaking of football, I don't know why. It's kind of weird. But I did think of you last night.
Thank you.
I'm watching Hard Knocks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, what's week two going to be like? Where are we going? Is it going to be all Antonio Brown?
That was one of the most hyped episodes of Hard Knocks, I think, of all time. Like, with the Antonio Brown stuff that had gone on in the last week and wondering how they were going to cover it and everything that's going on behind the scenes, like, people were jacked for that thing last night.
Well, they opened it in the most football opening way of all time. Before we play this, though, Swagger, can we possibly get the, I always forget which button it is, the old school, like, the NFL whip around intro, which one that is?
Can we kind of pot it slowly up as Gruden is talking?
The mood.
That's what I want to. Yeah, this is what we're going to do. So let's play the music first and slowly bring it up. Oh, no, this isn't. Is this it?
This works, yeah.
I was thinking the old school jingle.
This is the Boomer and the Tom Jackson, yeah, I think.
What's the old school one I'm thinking of?
Well, they play it in the open for Hard Knocks.
Yeah, it's the Raider song.
Blistering in the wind.
Yeah, yeah.
The Raider plunders, whatever the
hell
they say.
Don't we use that one?
I think so, yeah.
Which one do we use? You know what I'm talking about?
The old classic. Yeah, here it is.
Yeah, give it a second. Okay. All right, let's play the John Gruden. This is the most football open of a TV show you're ever going to get.
The first week of training camp is in the books, man. 1 week is down. All right, like everybody, just stand up, welcome each other to the second week of training camp, man. All right, second week of training camp. Okay, on a serious note now, I like where we're going, I like what we're doing, but as I said at the beginning, the second week, it's time for us to raise the bar now. Are we clear on that? We got to raise the bar. I want to practice with better etiquette, okay? Stay off the ground. Stay away from the quarterback. I want the backs and receivers to finish runs, okay? I want better etiquette. But more than anything, I want better execution. Are we clear on that? I want better execution. I want you to get a little bit pissed off. All right, not a lot of people expect very much from us. Do they? Do they? You've been reading about us? Not a lot of people expect enough from us. I'm tired, man. I'm tired of reading about it. It's time for you to stick your foot up somebody's, man. I'm looking for relentless, every situation strain. I want everybody to pick it up tonight.
Yes!
Does it go from 0 to 100 faster than that? Is that listed on the John Gruden profile when you hire him?
If you missed the episode last night, it starts out, they're in a big meeting room. He's coming over. Obviously, he says week two. That part where he goes, look, turn to your neighbor and tell him congrats for getting to week two. It goes on for about a minute.
Yeah, and they're just everybody shaking hands.
Yeah, it's like the opening of church. Say hello to your neighbor. And then as soon as it quiets down, he just goes right into like classic Gruden mode.
There's a lot of peace be with yous. And then he put a foot up all their butts last night. That was pinnacle John Gruden. That's why when the Raiders were announced to be on Hard Knocks, I was so excited. He had a couple of good speeches in the first episode that kind of got you going. One of them was the really cliche one of the nightmares. Don't be dreamers. I mean, you'd be nightmares. And
the bonnet bowl, the peach right. bowl.
Yeah, and then Mariucci went on TV and was like, man, that is John Gruden right there. But he took his speeches to another level. And his interactions with players, some people kind of poo-pooed the first episode. I thought it was good, kind of a setup. I thought last night was awesome. Maybe they spent a little bit too much time on the Antonio Brown stuff, but the speeches that he gave, the interactions that he had with players, the yelling at the quarterbacks when Glennon was throwing the picks, and then yelling at Peterman for missing wide open guys running down the field. Like, John Gruden is a perfect character, and like a show like Hard Knocks is just made for him.
Well, I found it interesting. They're doing the let's tie you to a couple players, and one of them's probably getting cut narrative, but you think he's going to make it. So similar to what they did with Kajus last year for Cleveland. Yeah. Oh, Kajus, his dad played in the NFL and he played at Stanford. Yeah. He's a big-bodied tight end. He's going to make it. And then they cut his ass at the end of it. I think they're doing that with this, Kalen Doss?
Kalen Doss,
I believe. Or Jalen Doss.
One of the two. I know the last name's Doss. He played at UC Davis?
Yeah.
UC Davis. So he's an undrafted dude and
he's from Alameda, the local product.
Kid. Yeah. Gruden had some funny lines about him, said, I'm more excited to watch him play than I am to see my wife, and I haven't seen my wife in 2 weeks. He was like asking him how many ladies he's inviting to the game. They're going to be there. He ends up scoring the touchdown. He is the heartstring story that you know is going to get cut. You're going to pull for a couple of weeks, and then eventually it's just going to break your heart in the last episode.
Okay, the other thing I wanted to ask you on the Hard Knock stuff, we don't need to get to Antonio Brown. I thought for people who go, you give me no info on Antonio Brown, this is supposed to be behind the scenes. I thought it was pretty representative of what happened. Yeah, Antonio Brown left. He told them almost nothing.
Right.
And they didn't know what to say. They had no information. The cameras didn't follow Antonio Brown to wherever he went off when he left camp. So I don't care about that. I was more interested in everything else. Hunter Renfrow, are we thinking he's going to stay healthy all year? He looks like a child.
He looks like he's going to get snapped in half out there.
It's one thing for Wes Welker or Danny Amendola or Edelman.
Yeah, who's the cowboy, the little cowboy wide receiver? What's his name again?
Cole Beasley.
Cole Beasley.
Yeah, right. Cole Beasley's probably the biggest comp you can get with him because I think body-wise, he's built more like Cole Beasley, whereas those other dudes are kind of yoked. They're just short.
Yeah.
Like, Edelman's a pretty yoked dude.
He's taking steroids. We know that.
Well, yeah, that's right. He got suspended last year. Renfro has almost no muscle definition. And I know his hands are amazing and he made big plays, but I don't know if he's going to be able to take a big hit.
I'm with you. He looks like a 12-year-old out there playing with NFL players. And I thought he had not fitting the physical sense does make you wonder how he's going to do, because all those other guys you mentioned are freak athletes. Like even Cole Beasley is like a freak athlete. He doesn't have that vibe. He's consistent, runs good routes, makes every catch, that kind of thing. So as long as he can stay healthy, maybe there's a spot he just has to avoid the big hit. I did think there was a funny moment where he was warming up and he was talking to Derek Carr, who I don't find very likable. He kind of rubs me the wrong way.
That's what else I was going to get to. You said your takeaway is you think Derek Carr is a D-bag.
D-bag might be too strong. I don't know. He seems like he's kind of putting on an act. He seems kind of phony. He's rolling up the sleeves. Looks like he's wearing eyeliner. But he had the back and forth. So him and Renfro were warming up before their practice with the Rams. And Renfro was like being honest, like, man, I'm kind of nervous. This is his first joint scrimmage. Like, he's going against the defending NFC champs. You imagine what he's going through right there. And Derek Carr just kind of laughs at him. He's like, I played much bigger games than this in my life. It's like, well, sure. I mean, your team's been in the playoffs, but you missed the playoff game. So you've never played a playoff game. Sure, you have played in bigger games in a training camp.
You played in a regular season game.
So sure, I grant you that. But he's also talking to a guy who played in, what, like 3 or 4 national championships and made a game-winning catch in a national championship.
Against a giant.
To beat Alabama. And he was just like having this honest moment, like, man, I'm nervous. Like, I can't wait to see how I do and how we do. And I'm, you know, challenging myself and all this. And Derek Carr just kind of laughed at him, like, ah, don't worry about it. He strikes me as rather unlikable, and the relationship between him and Gruden, I think, is interesting too.
Well, I didn't have that takeaway. The sleeve thing, he always does that. His brother's been teasing him since he got in the league. He's like, you always have to roll your sleeves up and show your guns off. The eyeliner thing, we've known that since he's a rookie.
He wears eyeliner.
He has to be wearing eyeliner. Yeah. All right. I mean, are we arguing that anymore? That seems like a proven fact. But the part that I find interesting is that you find the unlikable traits. I'm just kind of like in the middle on him. I'm not rooting for him. And then also I don't hate him. I found him a little annoying with the back and forth with Abraham from the first episode.
Salmon.
Yeah. Don't even play into that. Right. But, it's interesting you came away with that conclusion.
Yeah, he has a weird vibe to him. Maybe it's the overly religious thing. Not that there's anything wrong with being religious, but he just has that kind of, just something off about him a little bit. He seems like a good family guy. He's married. His kids are there. Like, he's practicing with them, and they had some fun on the field and stuff after practice. He just has a slightly strange vibe to him, I think.
The press conference in the post-practice, that I thought that was interesting when they kept asking what he thinks of Antonio Brown's feet. And he was like, oh, I don't have my phone at all. I haven't seen anything.
Claimed he had never seen it.
And the guy's like, do you want me to show you? And he's like, no, I can't look at that.
Well, the Antonio Brown stuff is what everybody was excited for. And I'm with, like, you didn't really learn anything out of it. The only thing that I found interesting was the fact that kind of what you highlighted, like, Oakland was in the dark on that whole situation. Like, he left camp. They showed him at the start. He's like talking about his feet getting circumcised, by the way, which was really weird. And that kind of got glossed over because of the episode.
Well, how about the process of getting the blisters drained out on his feet?
And then claiming that it wasn't, like, he didn't know that you're supposed to wear the booties. He came out and his feet were on fire. But the whole verbiage around it was strange. But him just bouncing after a couple of practices, and then there were clips of Gruden just sitting in the meeting rooms like, anybody seen Antonio Brown? Be great to have him around here.
Yeah, did you find that scene weird?
Really weird.
They didn't do anything in the meeting. They just went to Gruden and for a quick scene, and he's sitting and he's around the coach and he goes, be nice to have anybody seen Antonio Brown? And then it just cuts away. It's like, okay, we went to Gruden to hear that.
I think they legit didn't know what his plan was. They knew he was filing the grievance and he was going to the arbitrator about the helmet, and then that got settled on Monday. So they're in a little bit more clear air about it now, and he's just looking for his old helmet. And they tease at the end of the episode, he's back at practice, obviously. But I think they legitimately did not know where he was. Gruden didn't want to answer questions about it. The teammates didn't know where he was. He disappeared, which kind of just tells you about the relationship he has with the team right now.
Still not a Roethlisberger guy, but you can kind of understand. I bet Pittsburgh has an easier camp going right now.
Yeah.
Without Antonio Brown.
Not dealing with that nonsense.
So a great opening to episode 2. Some people didn't like it. Some people wanted more, but I thought episode 2 was pretty good, and I'm looking forward to the next one here on Hard Knocks. All right, coming up next, our top 25 countdown takes us to the number 18, and that is LSU. You have them at number 8 with Ed Orgeron and company. Can they win? Can they surprise everybody and win the SEC this year? Or are they still looking to build a few more years out before they get to that point? We'll go to Baton Rouge next to talk LSU.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in Daily Ticker time here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. The number 8 team in Dirt's top 25 preseason poll is LSU and Ed Orgeron, who are coming off a 10-win season. They're returning 16 players from last year's group, including their quarterback, the transfer Joe Burrow. So give us a lowdown on LSU. We're going to go to Baton Rouge now. Jordy Collada of 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge Radio, he joins us now. Jordy, thanks so much for the time, man. We appreciate it up here in Portland. The expectations for LSU, I know Bama's still there. Georgia's getting a lot of picks by people. Does LSU have it this year to make some upsets and potentially win the SEC, in your opinion?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Look, LSU this year, we've talked about LSU. I've done this for 9 years now, done sports radio down here in South Louisiana and talked about LSU during the off seasons. And every year we've talked about their talent at defensive back or their wide receivers or their top-end running backs like Darius Geis, Leonard Fournette, Jeremy Hill. They've had big-time pass rushers that they produced. And all that has always given LSU the reputation of a team to watch out for. But this season, the chatter is different because of the confidence that they have in their signal caller. It's been a long time since LSU has had a returning quarterback that they felt comfortable in. And Burrow really started to play well down the stretch last season. And in the offseason, they went out and hired a young, bright mind on that side of the ball in Joe Brady from the New Orleans Saints. And by all accounts, his installation in spring, his influence in the offseason, and now to see him on the field working with that side of the ball and specifically with Burrow here in the first week and a half of camp has really given LSU fans something to be excited about on that side of the ball, because they've just been so inept for the last decade, and that's the true reason for the offseason buzz is Burrow and the offensive change that is expected to come.
Yeah, and you mentioned the offense. That's going to be a big thing for LSU this year. They took a step up last year, 32 points per game, up from 27 the year before that and 28 the year prior to that. But you look at the bigger games and maybe some of the tougher defenses that they faced last year. The Alabama game sticks out, where they got shut out. The loss to Florida earlier in the year, where they only scored 19 points. Like, we know the offense has improved, and 30 points per game is a solid number. Where's the confidence level, though, that they can get it done when they face one of those kind of defenses to keep them in a game?
Well, it still needs to be proven, really, because they have struggled in the past in those big-time matchups, and really it comes down to the trenches. And Orgeron has specifically tried to change their approach on the recruiting trail of trying to get those big bodies that LSU was beating teams for, you know, just over a decade ago. And that was their identity, was winning at the line of scrimmage with guys like Glenn Dorsey and Ricky Jean-Francois, who played long into the NFL. And that was the difference in both of those games that you referenced. I mean, the Alabama game last year, that was a clinic by their defensive line. You know, I mean, they threw LSU all over the place on double, triple teams on that front four. And then Florida, the outside, they could not protect Joe Burrow. So it all came down to trench play, and they have to prove themselves here in the first Saturday in November in Tuscaloosa, because that has been a game that, you know, look, man, down here in South Louisiana, people have really come to dread because of LSU being on the wrong side of it the last 8 tries.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Jordy Collada is our guest here, 104.5 ESPN, host of Off the Bench over there in Baton Rouge, to preview LSU, who we have at number 8. For all the talent returning, the quarterback, the coach, you talk about the coordinators and the coaching staff in general, that Alabama game is just everything for LSU. We know that. And to get through Alabama, to win the SEC and what that means to LSU fan, I am curious, though, not to stereotype, but it feels like Edo is kind of one of their own. He's an LSU through and through guy. A lot of people had question marks about him as the head coach. Could he really be a long-term option for him? If they can't get past Bama with this group this year, what is the pressure situation for him, the hot seat stakes for Ed O after this season?
Oh, well, look, I think he secured his seat with the extension last year. There was a low expectation around LSU last year. He went out and got a guy like Joe Burrow in the transfer wire, picked up a kicker in Cole Tracy that was a graduate transfer that really turned out to be difference makers for him. Tracy kicked a game winner against Auburn on the road. Burrow was making plays all down the stretch, and they get to 10 wins. That was a team that last season LSU was pegged to win 6 or 7 games, and Ogeron was on the hottest seat in the country going into last fall. He's really steadied the program. He's done a great job of recruiting. He's built a fence around the state of Louisiana and gotten some key targets. It's not all about that game in against Alabama. It's about stabilizing LSU's program again from a player personnel standpoint and lining them up with depth. And he's done that in overhauling the roster. I mean, look, man, Les Miles left this roster nearly in shambles. I mean, they had to rebuild. They had to go out and find linebackers and offensive linemen, and they had to build depth at the defensive line. They didn't have any quarterbacks in the tunnel and in the funnel. So it was a hell of a task to overhaul this. So Ogeron is safe in the eyes of LSU fans and within the administration. I mean, look, new athletics director Scott Woodward has come in and really given Ogeron a lot of support and offered his resources, offered every resource within the athletic program, and has made it known that Ogeron is his guy. This is a team that is expected to achieve. You guys have them at number 8. There's all types of services around the country that happen within the top 10. So there is expectation pegged on this team, but I think they invite it now. You know, I mean, the first couple of years they were trying to stabilize it. Now they want to play in these big games with expectation to win it.
Yeah, and speaking of the big games too, I mean, one of my favorite parts about college football, especially early in the season, when you get those exciting non-conference games, and we got one out here with Oregon and Auburn to open the season for the fans out in this neck of the woods. But that September 7th game, I mean, we've had circled for a long time, just excited considering the hype and the potential around both programs. How are people down there feeling about the road trip to Austin and their game against Texas?
They're antsy, man. Everybody's looking forward to that trip. That's a great one. You rarely see these games anymore on college campuses. Usually this game will be played in Cowboy Stadium or in Houston or in the Superdome. To get this game on campus and play it at DK Royal this upcoming season, then come back down to Death Valley and Baton Rouge next year, I think that's going to offer a pretty cool dynamic to what has recently seemingly been lost in college football, is the lore of these big games on campus. So a lot of people are looking forward to that trip to getting over to Austin. And when you think about the football component of it, that really can, that can be the boost that LSU needs in the early part of the season. And a lot of people are relating that to the 2011 opener against you guys against Oregon in Dallas in Cowboy Stadium, where you knew that team was going to be good. They had a lot of talent with that defensive backfield headlined by Tyrann Mathieu and Eric Reed, all those guys, but you didn't know how good they were going to be. Then they played that opener against Oregon and really just dominate that game. And then you wake up Monday morning, you're on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and throughout the rest of the season, you play within the top 3 in the country. So this is a similar type atmosphere and game in which LSU can really kind of boost themselves into the national talk.
Is this, we're talking with Jordy Coletta of 104.5 ESPN down in Baton Rouge to preview number 8 LSU in our top 25 countdown to the first college football game this season between Miami and Florida. Is there a sense that if Joe Burrow starts and he struggles early, like let's say they go to Texas, they lose that one, he didn't play well, he doesn't play well his first few games, is there a chance that they make a change there, or do you think he's pretty safe as well to just remain the quarterback, they ride through it this season and see what he can give them?
No, he's our guy, man. He's a leader of this team. He's their quarterback. Now, I will tell you that they do have much more confidence in their backup than they have in years past. And a guy like Miles Brennan, who came out as an Elite 11 quarterback a couple of years back from St. Stanislaus down here on the Gulf Coast. And, you know, he's been trying to put weight on and get to a college football playing weight, and they feel like they've finally done that with him. So I think that they feel confident in their backup. But last week, Joe Burrow didn't play in the first preseason scrimmage. And Ogeron, quite frankly, I mean, honestly, laid it out and said, look, they're a different football team without Burrow out there. So he is their guy. He is the leader. He embraces that. And, you know, from everything that you hear about him, you talk to him, you see him, he's really expecting to have a big season. I followed him down to the Manning Passing Academy. Happens every year down here in South Louisiana at Thibodeau at Nicholls State University. And it really is kind of a melting pot of football. I mean, just pro, college, high school, all types of my talking. Hey, you know, Chris Mortensen, everybody's down here just kind of talking football. And Joe Burrow was down here. You know, your guys, Herbert was down here as well. And one of the big takeaways was for Joe Burrow is that he can make all the throws. He can make the throws that Jake Fromm's making. He can make the throws that Tua Tagovailoa, Trevor Lawrence, your guy up there in Herbert, every throw that the big time guys that everybody in the country is talking about, Joe Burrow fits in. And I think that did a lot for his confidence in coming back down to Baton Rouge and being a leader for this team and understanding that, you know, he's got potential to be a big-time player in college football this season.
Yeah, you mentioned the dominance up front of LSU of old and how that kind of derailed them last year against Alabama and Florida when they struggled to move the ball a little bit. With that in mind, looking at, you know, if LSU is to realize those expectations and have the kind of year that some think they can have, what is the one strength or the one positional group you think that carries them? And then vice versa, if things do falter and maybe they have a disappointing season, what is the weakness you think that will derail their season?
Well, obviously they have to stay healthy. That's the storyline for everybody. But I think the dominant part of this team is going to be their defense. I mean, look, you lose Devin White, you lose Greedy Williams. White is the fifth overall pick to the Bucs. Greedy goes in the second round to Cleveland. I've been saying this on the air, and I've been getting blasted for it, but I truly believe this. I think they upgraded at the cornerback spot, losing Greedy and gaining Garrett Stingley Jr. Stingley is the number one player in the country by the majority of recruiting services. He's by far the number one defensive back in the country. He's a play one, game one, day one starter at defensive back, punt returner, and is a game changer at both spots. There's healthy competition at the linebacker spot between three guys. Whoever wins out, you're safe there. And replacing Devin White, you don't replace him. You don't get the production that he gave you. You can play this game, coach this game for another decade. You're probably not getting a player like him at that position. So you just gotta kind of restack there. But the defensive line is better. And look, they got some ball hawks in the defensive backfield. I was standing next to an NFL scout during the spring practice, and they were without Christian Fulton, who by a lot of services, you read around, he's the best returning cornerback in college football. You know, he's a guy that played opposite Greedy last year, and Grant Delpit, who was a Nagurski finalist, and probably the best defensive back, the best safety coming back in the country. They were without those guys, and an NFL scout was standing next to me with a lineup that they had on the field that featured Stingley Jr., Kerry Vincent, who's a track star, Kelvin Joseph, who's a backup. And I asked him, who's not a pro? And he said, look, man, all these guys are going to be playing on Sunday. So they've got depth back there, and they've got playmakers. I think that the failing grace for this team could be the offensive line. But what Joe Brady, the new offensive coordinator, to a sense, a new passing game coordinator, has brought in is getting the ball out of your hand quick. That Saints philosophy, right? I mean, like, don't stand there, let the pass rush, no more max protect, no more keeping seven guys in and only running three guys out. Get five guys out on the route, catch the ball out of a shotgun, and get the ball out of your hand. Put it to these playmakers and let them make plays in space. So offensive line's got to play well, but they're doing some things to counteract maybe the weakness of their team. Mm.
There we go. Jordy Collada, our guest here, 104.5 ESPN Sports Radio in Baton Rouge, previewing number 8, LSU. Jordy, great insight, great info, man. Thank you so much. And we'll have to catch up with you this coming season with a couple of their big games.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. There we go. Jordy Collada of 104.5 ESPN for our preview on the number 8 team in your top 25 dirt, LSU. If they're going to be able to make a move, maybe it's this year, 16 guys coming back and 10 wins last year.
Schedule's tough. I mean, you got that non-conference game at Texas early. I do think Texas is a good team. You got to go to Alabama this year. And as he mentioned, they haven't beaten Alabama in 8 years, which that stuck out to me because it doesn't feel like it's been that long. But then you realize that's a good stretch of dominance there for Alabama. So it's a difficult schedule for them. And I do think, not to oversimplify it, it comes down to one guy. Like, Joe Burrow's good. He's a good quarterback. But is he good enough to move the ball against Alabama on the road?
He looked very pedestrian against Alabama, man.
I think this team has a dominant defense. We know they're LSU. I think he's right about all the skill position guys. I mean, they got five-star talent basically all over the field. It comes down to, can Joe Burrow step up and get the job done at Texas, at Alabama, against Florida, those kind of games.
A&M at home,
A&M, those kind of games. Can Joe Burrow step up and make plays? And if he can, this could be a playoff team.
All right, coming up next, Magic Johnson is the gift that keeps on giving. That's next on The Fan. Angie Machado is going to join us. Beaver Blitz for the latest on Oregon State's fall camp. Been going on. So we'll check in there coming up in 10 minutes. I saw this yesterday and I said, man, we got to talk about this on the show. Magic Johnson is 60 today.
Happy birthday, Magic.
Which probably makes people like Swag feel real old. They got to watch him.
That make you feel old?
I mean, it's not like the most.
I don't know. I mean, I remember watching the 79 title game against Bird, so that makes me old.
Yeah, Larry Bird's limping around now. Well, he decided to do something fun on his social media account. He wanted to do his top 60 of, like, everything he enjoys.
Now, is this serious, or you think he's doing this knowing it's a joke?
No. Have you seen him tweet?
No, I mean, I know, but I wonder, like, if people have said, like, that would be really funny if you just released a top 60, or is he legitimately sitting down spending the time thinking, people want to know who I believe are the top 60 male R&B artists are.
He quit his job as the president of the Lakers so he could tweet. He loves this stuff. So, he's the most predictable Twitter account out there. Yeah, your team will lose, and he'll go, valiant effort, seemed like the other team was just better today. And you'll see the tweet and go, okay, thanks, Magic, didn't know that. Well, yesterday he's releasing his top 60. You mentioned a male R&B artist, female R&B artist.
There's a million of these things.
Musical bands. I was pinpointing the TV shows.
Yeah, that needs to be discussed.
Okay, so let's dive into this real quick. I'm not going to go through all 60. I'll go to his top 30. Okay. Just for time's sake.
Top 30 TV shows?
These are his favorite top 60 TV shows. I'm going to start at number 30, go to 1.
Of all time.
All time TV shows, okay?
All time.
Number 30, Ironside. I've never heard of Ironside in my life. What channel was that on?
I have no clue.
Swag? You might have to
Ironside,
tell me on a couple of these.
He was a private detective, but he was bound to a wheelchair, and I can't remember who the lead actor was. It was in the 70s.
Okay.
Let me go look.
There you go.
Okay, 29 in Living Color.
In Living Color, sure.
I think he's selling a little short, but that's fine.
A little low.
28, I Love Lucy.
Yeah, classic staple.
Are we buying that he actually used to watch I Love Lucy to the point of it being in the top 30 favorite TV shows all time?
When I consider the other shows that are in his top 30, yes, I am. Okay. Because these, I think, are legitimately shows that he watches.
Okay, 27 is Hill Street Blues.
Yeah, big fan.
That was a great show.
26, Happy Days.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that.
Sunday, Monday.
These little Fonz and Richie Cunningham in your life. Ironside, yes, it was in the 60s and 70s. It was what Raymond Burr did after Perry Mason.
Okay. Number 25, Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Of course!
Now,
what's the Pete's wife? What's her name again?
Holly Robinson
Holly
Pete.
Robinson Pete, yeah.
You know who was just on his boat in Italy for 2 weeks with him? Holly Robinson Pete and Rodney Pete.
Wow, they probably slipped him a few bucks to get in the top 30.
Look, I liked Hanging with Mr. Cooper. I was a lot younger when I watched it.
Sure, good show.
I don't think that show was on longer than 3 seasons.
No, anybody who puts that in a top 30 show of all time is you might be missing the point. That's a good, like, let's kill some time. This show's on. Like, all right, oh, yeah, it's Hanging with Mr. Cooper. Nobody, when I say name your favorite TV show, I think brings up hanging with Mr. Cooper.
No.
Well, 24 is Gunsmoke. I loved Gunsmoke. About the guns when they smoked.
Just wait. It gets better, people.
23 is Good Times.
Okay.
22 is Fresh Prince. 21 is The Flip Wilson Show.
Okay.
20 is First Take.
There you go. There
First
it is.
First Take in his mind there is better than The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Better than Good Times, better than In Living Color, better than I Love Lucy.
First Take.
First Take. First Take cracks its top 20 TV shows of all time.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking Magic Johnson, 60 years old. So yesterday he released his top 60 of like all of these different categories. We're going through the rundown of his top 30 TV. 19 is The First 48.
Now, I actually have seen that a couple of times. It's a decent show.
It's not a bad show.
Yeah, not top 20 worthy, but interesting show.
Number 18 is Family Feud with Steve Harvey.
Who doesn't love Family Feud?
17, ESPN Sports Center, not to be confused with somebody else's Sports Center.
There's a lot of Sports Centers out there.
How about 16, Empire?
Oh, God. Yeah, it's a great show, man.
You love watching people argue over record labels? Then you'll love Empire. Do you like guys who commit fake crimes to drum up media attention for their brand? You'll love Empire.
This is quite the, he's got an interesting taste. Like, he's all over the board.
All over. I cannot pinpoint who he is. Number 15, The Ed Sullivan Show.
Exactly. Right before Empire. Makes sense those two go together.
14, he's got Dragnet. Okay. And then 13, Columbo. So we got a little bit of a detective vibe.
Yeah, he likes the detective whodunit shows.
He does.
The Rockford Files on there?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
You've got number 12, Chappelle's Show. Number 11, how about beating Chappelle's Show, The Brady Bunch?
Again, those two go hand in hand. I always watch The Brady Bunch right after an episode of Chappelle's Show.
There's nothing more Magic Johnson loves than sitting down and finding out what it's like for two people to remarry with three kids on each side and a maid living downstairs.
Da, 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 da.
How about 10, Bonanza?
Bonanza.
Cracking the top 10. Number 9, Black-ish.
Top 10 show of all time. Who doesn't feel that way?
How about number 8? There's no chance he watched this. The Beverly Hillbillies.
The Beverly Hillbillies.
Not buying it.
He for sure watched that show.
Number 7 is quite disrespectful because this should probably be number 1. He's put Ballers at number 7. Number 6.
Is he in Ballers? If he has made a cameo in Ballers, then we know why that show is ranked top 10
Watch all of the last season.
Okay.
But I've seen all the episodes, and to my knowledge, he hasn't been in it.
Okay.
Number 6 is the Arsenio Hall Show, which he appeared on multiple times. Number 5 is the Andy Griffith Show. Do you think he whistles? Does he whistle the theme?
You have to when it comes on.
Number 4, the Alfred Hitchcock Presents.
Now it's going to get stuck in everybody's head.
Number 3, A Different World.
Uh-huh.
Number 2, The Three Stooges. And number 1, the number 1 show to Irvin Magic Johnson, TV show all time, 21 Jump Street.
Now, some of these, not to be confused, he has done some of these in alphabetical order, and some of them have not been done in alphabetical order. So that's what is throwing people off. So this one, for example, is in alphabetical order. So people are wondering, are you just 1 through 30, and that's just the way it worked for you? Or are you doing an alphabetical order? Because then his, where did this one go? His top 60 male R&B artist starts with Michael Jackson, followed by Prince, then Stevie Wonder.
Mm.
So he's keeping people on their toes here. Some of them are in alphabetical order. Some of them are not in alphabetical order.
I think these are his top shows ranked. I'm not taking the alphabetical order crap.
Well, it doesn't matter. Those are his top 30 shows, no matter what point you put them in. And he's got quite the TV taste, my man.
So 21 Jump Street's the greatest TV show of all time. You want to hang out with Magic Johnson and be friends? Watch 21 Jump Street.
Go check all these out on his Twitter account. It's worth a few hours of your afternoon.
He is the gift that keeps on giving on social media, that's for sure. All right, coming up next, a loaded second hour. We're going to kick it off with an update on Oregon State's football fall camp. What's been going on? What the quarterback battle's been like? Angie Machado joins the show to kick off hour number 2 next on 1080 The Fan.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.